All right, Psalm 131. I'll read from verse 1. It says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely, he said, I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Now, David was explaining a principle to us here, which we have to start today looking at again, because we ended last time when we began to look at it. But let me just review something briefly, what we have said up till now, the issue of the faith rest life. That's what I've been discussing. Now, for some time, of course, you know, we are talking about faith basics. What are the fundamental things about Christianity that we must all know? Now, we said that when we talk about faith rest, that's talking about the situation in life that the Christian walks in which the power of God is now manifested in his life. I said something last time, let me just repeat it again, that God does not walk while you are walking. Do you understand my point? That is anything you are walking on, except you are directly obeying his instructions, God doesn't work on that project. Do you follow what I'm going to say there? So you choose something in life, either to labor with your own strength, or you labor with the grace of God. And Paul did that, he labored with the grace of God, and he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me did not prove vain in that I labored. That is, outwardly you look at me, I'm laboring and getting results. He said, but it's not I. It is the grace of God working with me. What does that tell you? The grace of God is God's power that is manifested in the life of anybody that's working according to God's order. And what do you mean by that? We said in life, there is a work of God. Everybody must understand that and identify the work of God for his own life. I said that being in the resting place of God does not mean you are idle. Let me say that again. As a Christian, waiting for God, I've thought about that thing again and again, how to wait for God. It doesn't mean you are idle and doing nothing. But it just means that you have identified the work of God for that moment and you are doing that work. Are you getting my point? That is, it is possible to attain to a place you are not laboring towards. That's the matter of fact. You know, something in life which confuses us a lot of times, because in our efforts to get results in life as Christians, we start learning and imbibing and working by natural principles. I've said something before. Natural principles are not necessarily wrong or evil. They work in their own level, all right? But there is a power that works towards those who believe, that does things beyond that which is natural. Do you follow the point I'm making here? That is, if somebody's walking by faith, there are things he did not labor for that he will get. For example, we read in the scriptures, David. David never labored to become king, and he became a king. Now, there are different ways we can tell stories of how to become a king. And I said this before, and I will say it again. Many of the people we are trying to emulate, all right? We don't emulate them properly. We're only emulating their actions without emulating their hearts, the position their hearts were in. For example, we will talk about, I've seen it before, how to come before the king. You are describing the life of Joseph. You forget that Joseph never prepared for going to see Pharaoh. Are you getting my point? Joseph never engineered his life so that one day he will meet Pharaoh. They say, when you are going to meet the king, you shave your beard. You notice that Joseph shaved his beard. I don't think Joseph shaved his beard. His beards were shaven for him. Is my English correct? It sounds fun. Somebody told him, your boy, sit down there. What is that? Be a beard. Come on, cut that thing. Are you getting my point? It's not as if he said, now I'm about to step into a higher realm. Now I begin to shave, right? I begin to shave. Nothing like that. They say, is that him? He said, yes, sir. Come. And they approached. The person go drawing BAB. Waiting for this. Say, now BAB, sir. All right. Off with the BAB. Now bring out an issue. You see that we may want to copy people on how they got results. We forget that something was carrying them, not they carrying themselves into that level. And that is what is called the grace of God. The grace of God is a power of God that brings forth results in your lives concerning things that you did not even labor concerning. But I said, doesn't mean that because you are believing that you are going to be idle. Paul said, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That is, are we to continue in laziness that prosperity may abound? That's what he was trying to explain. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, no, we can't. What do? We identify the work of God for each season. So God does your work, your life for you, while you do his own work. What is his work? Is that labor he has given you for each season. Life has seasons, and in each season of life, there is a work that God gives somebody. That which God commits into your hand, all right, while you are waiting for him is called the work of God. If you will do that which God committed into your hand, then God will be able to do that which he really wants to do through you. Let me explain again. If you are a preacher, as an example, you say, those days I used to go for Bishop Oyedepo School of Ministry every quarter. All right, I was always there 3 full days. And one of the things I learned there those days was the principles of church growth. All right, Bishop Oyedepo style. And I believe it. I learned quite a lot from it. Now, I got a series of tips once. Some people were in a Christian conference. Preachers were teaching on how to grow a church. And listen to this. Listen to this. One man said, how did he grow a very big church? Now, let me say something first. Sometimes people, you know, just the way you don't understand how results came to be. Like Solomon said, you don't know how bones were formed in the womb of a woman, all right? Now, you observing from outside, do you know? No, you don't. Let me ask you a question. Does the woman herself know? No, she does not. Now, life tends to put pressure on us sometimes. If we are the pregnant, if you are the pregnant woman, and you say, praise God, now that you have achieved this pregnancy, tell us how bones were formed. Do you follow my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. You have succeeded in life. People will now give you a microphone. Say, come and tell us how you succeeded. The fact is that you also do not know. But because pressure is put upon you to talk, you must prepare something now. That's why I don't listen to successful people. I listen to preachers of the word of God. People tell you that they are talking theory. I have noticed something. Hey, I'm beginning to digress now. How do I do this? Let me try and control myself. Give me 1 minute and I go back, all right? I noticed something there. People tell you that preachers are talking theory. They are not talking theory. They are talking truth and the power of life. The men who talk practicals actually don't know what they are saying. I'm sorry. Because the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. The thing produces results. He himself does not know how. What am I going to say? Let me not go over all of that again. As Christians, let's locate the work of God. Let's stop trying to be smart. I've said something several times. I'm not walking as a believer by faith so that I will use the same principles that Muslims use and will get the same results. That's nonsense. I did not become a Christian or living my life of faith so that you tell me these are the same principles that Guru Maharaj followers use. And they also get results. In that case, I'm not interested. I'm looking for something higher than that. Paul called it the power of his resurrection. That is, go to business school from now till tomorrow. Get all the degrees. You will work for a man who grace is upon his head. That's what we are teaching. That's what we are teaching. Listen, the challenge of Christianity, I keep on saying it, is to be able to believe and wait. It's hard. I think it's the hardest thing in life. That was why Saul failed. That was why Saul failed. It was difficult to wait. Samuel is coming. When is he going to come? That's why Saul failed. Men who really succeed with God are the ones that they have learned how to wait. I was explaining again that waiting doesn't mean sitting and being idle. Waiting means what? Locating the work of God for each season. So I was saying something earlier about that church growth matter. So one man was speaking. That's why I digressed into that place. He said, I wanted to build a great church. How did he? Now, that's why I told that story. Because he said things that I could not believe. They couldn't be true. He said that when he wanted to build a church, he went around different people. He went to one particular man and said, how did you? The man has a 12,000-member congregation. He said, how did you manage? The man said, I make maybe 500 visitations a week. Something like that. That is, you visit 500 people a week. Now, there are doctrines you hear and you reject on the spot. I rejected that one before you finished saying it. I'm not visiting 10 people. I'm not even visiting 5 people a week. Sorry, I'm not visiting 3 people a week. I'm not talking. No, really. 500 a week. Anyway, he said he wrote that down. Then he'll go somewhere else. Now, I'm adding many things to it now because I heard this many years ago. Now, this one I told you he said, but let me add other things to just illustrate my point. He'll say he'll go somewhere else, and the man will tell you he prays maybe 20 hours a week. So he too, he'll put it down and pray 20 hours a week. Anyway, cut long story short, he put all those principles down and they started building a church. The Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early and to pray 20 hours a week and do 500 visitations a day or whatever, a week. Because God giveth a large church to his beloved who does not visit anybody. Now, I'm going to explain the principle. But let me get back to the thing I was saying earlier. When I went to Bishop Oyedepo School of Ministry, he explained the principle here. Now, when he was in Kaduna, now listen to this. He started Winners Chapel in Kaduna, Living Faith Ministries, Living Faith Church. And for some time, I don't know how long, the church did not grow. And he said that, listen, if you are working with me, you will pray your mouth will bend. I can't do anything that's not working and not find out why it's not working. So he kept on fasting and praying and fasting and praying. Now, I've told you before, prayer does not force things to change a lot of times. It only connects you with the wisdom of God. Because, listen, one of the reasons why things fail in our lives is because we are going against the order of God. And if you're against God's order, no matter how hard you pray, it won't work. So when you pray hard, what God does to you as a favor is to open your eyes to see what you did not know. Elihu said, pray like this, that which I see not, teach thou me. Are you getting the point? So he said that, what did he now do? Then one day the word of the Lord came to him. I don't know exactly how, but this was the issue. God told him that, look, sheep go to where there's grass. That you want church to grow, start feeding people. And what is food, when we're talking about church, is the word of God. Then he started, that was how he started breakthrough seminars. Every month end, he will have a 3-day seminar and teach the word of God. And teach the word of God. And he start, that is, visit anybody, why should I visit anybody? That you didn't come here to find a friend. You came here to find a pastor who teaches you the word of God. Do you understand what I'm explaining? So if I'm doing that, the church will grow. He said for a long time he was just doing faith, what they call breakthrough seminars. Breakthrough seminars. Then one day, suddenly he noticed the church began to grow. And once he began, when they came to Lagos, the church grew from 2,000 people to 20,000 people in 12 months. From 2,000 to 20,000 people in 1 year. Why? Because this is a work of God for him. Just keep sowing the seed. And what is the seed? The preaching of the word of God. Please, you understand the principle. What a lot of us do, and this is where the challenge is, the ability to just identify that and stay with it. What a lot of us do is this. You look and say, how are they doing it in Winners there? You hear that, when you go there, first thing you're checking is how is Bishop dressed? And they used to wear robe, you know, not robe, I mean traditional garb. So you go and throw away your suit and you put on agbada. Then instead of church growing, people will say that, look at this man, he's chopping all the money, he's needing to buy cloth. You won't know that is the effect. Your expensive cloth. You know, there are, look, I've seen things. There are people that think that that's the key to church growth. The appearance of the pastor. If he looks prosperous, people will come there. Listen, these are spiritual issues we are dealing with. Do you follow my point? If you are building a bank, you can be shining the front so people will come there. But even then, after they've used it for a while, they'll know that there's real banking going on there. You're just fooling us with the building, that is fine. No matter how nice you look as a pastor, if you open your mouth and it's emptiness that appears. Listen, appearance is colored by many things. Once they hear the emptiness that's oozing from your mouth, suddenly all the shine in your clothes will disappear. When they see you, what they will see is filth. Why this man know they're washing clothes there? And they were seeing dread all over you. But it's not really what you are wearing. It's the fact that when you talk, dread falls from your mouth onto your fine clothes. Now, are you following what I'm saying? So, he identified the work of God for a pastor, which is to feed people with knowledge and with understanding. And they continue to do that until the church, people will fall over themselves to get there. A time came, once they opened the church door, I was then in Lagos. Literally, no, literally, people will pass through the window. People literally will pass through the window. Why? Because there was a season that he identified what the work of God was. But a lot of people say, no, let's go and copy what they are doing. How is the building shaped like? How many ushers do they have? What are the kind of communication gadgets they use? Is his microphone an original show or it is a fake one? They go and borrow money to buy a microphone. And the microphone starts amplifying the nothingness coming from your mouth. So worsens your situation. Before, when you talk, only the people close to you are hearing. So you don't scare away those who are far. What am I saying? Use the microphone money to amplify the emptiness. Therefore, you drive even those who will have mistakenly entered the place in their troubles one day. When people say, I'm having trouble. Say, go and see that pastor. See which pastor. Don't you hear what he says on Sundays? They've heard it before they came close. Why? Because people are not laboring the labor of God. They are not doing the work of God. They are doing the work of man. That's what I'm going to explain. That's what we've been saying. Now, we ended that one. And I said that I'll continue today by talking about how to quiet your soul. Alright? How to quieten your soul. Like David said in this Psalm 131. He says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Now, we've explained that if you enter into God's rest, if you are at peace, I said that last time, if you are at peace inside your soul, it manifests outside with, it manifests as the power of God outside. I said that the peace of God is not just absence of troubles. The peace of God is a spiritual force that directs things properly. So Jesus said you can get into a house and say, peace be unto this home. And peace comes into that house. And Paul said that peace can guard your mind. It can mount guard. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right. Now, so since we understand the importance of attaining that peace, we now say, let's discuss it. David said, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. What does that tell us? It's an active process. And we refer to what David said in Psalm 91. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, he said, under the shadow of the Almighty. I just want to tie those two things together. What was he saying there? That is, a man makes a conscious effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Then what he now experiences is what the Bible calls abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, God, look, these principles, they keep on showing up here and there. I just remember that I taught this in many years ago. That God always gives people what to do, a small thing to do, so that while they are doing it, he can do a great thing. What I mean is this. How do I get God's protection over me, following me everywhere? He said, it's simple. Don't try hard. He said, just locate yourself in a particular place and you will discover that this thing is following you everywhere. That is, I make my effort to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Then God pours a grace upon me, which is called the shadow of the Almighty. Now listen to this. This is how faith is. The things that God requires us to do are always easy to do. Relatively. I pray we'll get this point. The things that God will tell us to do are usually comparatively much easier than the results we are trying to get. That's just the way it is. For example, I told a story earlier of a man trying to grow a big church. There are difficult ways to do it. There are very difficult ways to do it, which is what we like to do because human beings like to, you know, they like to exert themselves and makes people feel sorry for themselves. You understand what I'm saying? That is, you want people to feel sorry for you. If you tell somebody, sit down here and God will bless you. You know, when he's been blessed, he won't have a story to tell. What did you do? He said, nothing. I just sat down. But what he wants to be able to say is, praise the Lord. The first day I realized that sleeping till 5:30 is not good. Therefore, I began to wake up at 4:45. Amen? Amen. And then I began to network. Listen to me. If you call me, I don't know what you're saying. I just hang up the phone. He started describing everything he did, which the Bible says contributed nothing to his success. Are you following what I'm saying? I keep on saying that's the challenge of Christianity. Human beings, I'm digressing. I don't care. Just learn something. All right? By force. That's where religion All right? Gets its power from. People love bondage. Take it from me. People love bondage, and that's where religion gets its power from. If you tell somebody that, listen, this is your sin that you have committed, change your ways, all right? Confess your sins and you are forgiven. No. How can I share it's not easy like that? He said, now, you will say these prayers 25 times. That's more like it. Then you crawl on your knees from here to Ugui Road. Now he knows forgiveness is coming. What do you have in your house? God, I have saved this 25,000 naira. Okay, you bring 24,900 and give to the poor. Yes, he likes it. Because tomorrow, he can oppress somebody else by telling him, you have sinned. How much you get? He now thinks he knows the key. No, I'm telling you, this is what human beings do. He thinks he knows the key. The other man I was telling you about, how do I grow a church? Simple. Say, sit down and teach the word. That one is easier to do, spiritually speaking now, all right? But you know, I said easier. I now realize they're actually harder. For most people, yeah, no, that's hard. Settle down. Let me keep talking. People come to you for prayers. I have noticed something. I need to say this. Christians are generally, no, not Christians. I withdraw it, not Christians. Human beings are generally very lazy in the things that matter. But they exert themselves in the things that don't work. You want to hold people in bondage? Declare all night prayers. Say, oh, how has it been? Okay, business has not been going on well. How has it been? Family, popohala. You know what we are going to do? We are going to fast 21 days. You break it at 6 with light soup or pap. Then you will show up and we will pray the whole night. Do you understand? That's what we are going to use. And we are going to break. Then another pastor comes and say, what is the problem? Well, how like that one is not a trouble. Sit down. Take this book. Read it. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Do I need to stay up at night to read it? No. You can read it then, fall asleep, and wake up in the morning. Keep studying. But look, it will go with repentance. God will teach you new. The guy doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Why? You know if he pray? There's one channel on TV I watch. You know, anytime I get there, I get irritated. God knows my soul gets angry. There's always one girl twisting on the floor. She's confessing right now. She's using a messenger of Satan. I said, get away. Every human being that's not born again is a messenger of Satan. What is the problem? It's the power of God. It's a woman that prays on the channel. I just look and say, God, why do you allow this kind of confusion to thrive? Deliverance day and night. But I realized that God won't shut them up. You know why? People who go there love it. They make it look like it's only women that have demon problems. I've never seen this particular channel. I've never seen a man on the floor. Poor women who we know are more submissive to these emotional suggestions. Yes, they are more subject to it. That's why they're always the one being delivered. Read Deliverance, delivers both men and women. Go and read your Bible. The madman, there was a madwoman, the one Jesus delivered. Was a madman, not a madwoman. Men and women, both of them have capacity to imbibe evil spirits. And God can deliver both. If you see where it's only women being delivered, just know there's nothing wrong with the people. They are just emotionally disturbed creatures. Look, what I'm telling is a matter of fact. But Christians love those kind. Look, human beings, they love it. Bring fowl, bring candle. But tell them, sit down. My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Let me teach you the ways of God and the thoughts of God. No. They start getting edgy. Tell them, get up and begin to break all the powers of the enemies. The person that is a friend of the devil wants to break the power of the devil. But then they settle down, they start getting edgy, irritable. They can't sit down to learn. Go to church tomorrow. Tomorrow is Sunday. Take a sensor of 20 Christians. Say, when last you read a book that's a Christian book? Just in the last 6 months, if you have read one. If you get up to 25%, what is it? If you get up to 15% an average Christian, I think I should stop preaching. I'm not needed anymore. No, we don't read. No, we don't want to learn anything. Break the power. Many of you who have come to me before for counseling, if you know what I have done. I've started talking. I said, have you read this book? No, go and read it. Have you read this one? No, go and read it. This is not a joke. It happens all the time. People say, okay, we don't need to talk anymore. I read that book. That was the end of it. I remember very well one brother. He's not around now. I said, when he finished his story, I said, have you read the book, Acquire Life? He said, no. I said, go and buy a copy and read it. Then the next time he came, he said, no, I don't buy, he's not buying a copy, I do now. I buy copies. I have many friends that have my kind of problems. So what do? I give them the book. Once they read it, the problems in their lives also, all right, they are solved by the entrance of the Word of God. I say boldly, Christians pray too much, if you know what I'm saying. I say that because it's not real prayer. Yes, that's what we do. Because there's no prayer that's possible that's not founded upon the Word of God. There's none. You know the interesting part? Even repentance is not possible. Even the simple prayer of repentance is not possible until the Word of God enters. Let me ask you a question. Did David know that killing Uriah was bad when he was going to kill him? Think about it. That's David. Did he know? He did. He knew. Come on. He didn't know that taking another man's wife is evil in the sight of God. He knew. How come he did not repent until Nathan showed up? No, the Word of God, that's how it is. That's why no matter how strong you think you are as a Christian, if you're not actively imbibing the Word of God, you are backsliding, you don't know it. The things you even know to be wrong, you will do it, you can't stop. Why did David not repent until Nathan showed up? Because even the prayer of repentance is impossible until the Word of God enters. David knew that God saw him. Yet at night he would cover his head with pillow, hoping that God won't notice. Are you getting my point? You can't pray effectively. That's why Israel never could repent spontaneously until there's a reading of the book. Is the Word of God that stirs you up to any form of prayer. Therefore, if anybody is not imbibing the Word of God on a regular and daily basis, and he says he's a prayer warrior, just know he's a jobless warrior. What are you fighting with? Look, you know, we have different habits. There are those, their habit is smoking. There are those that have habit of drinking. There are those who talk too much. There are those who eats too much. All kinds of habits. It's just natural. I want to say this. There are those who are naturally, apparently now outside, they look spiritual. It's their natural state. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. A lot of people you call spiritual and prayer warriors, that's what they are. Nothing spiritual about them. They are just those kinds of people. It's their natural thing you are seeing. Look, have you never seen people they call humble? What they mean by humble? The guy they fear. Say, that brother is very humble. He's not humble. The guy, they fear confrontation. A humble man is one that has power and is not afraid, yet does not use his power. Quietness and humility are not the same thing. There are unbelievers that don't talk. They don't know how to talk. They just don't like to talk. Well, I'm not bringing up something. So even calling yourself real, if it's not stimulated by the Word of God, is nonsense. Arrant rubbish. I said all of that just to bring out an issue. That Christians, let's learn to labor. I taught that then, how to labor correctly. The real labor is actually easy. It's just that human beings love to take glory for themselves. Therefore, they exert themselves in the things that are not real. That's the problem. They are literally penny wise and pound foolish. Isaiah said like this, why do you labor for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your money, your energy for that which does not satisfy? I've always wondered that for all the prophecies and the manifestations we saw in the nation of Israel, why did they used to follow other gods? Why? I'll tell you. One of the reasons is because people just love to take glory. That's just the reason. God gives them one monotonous, simple thing to do. A number of times a year, your men will appear before the temple. You bring sacrifices. Then, these are the things you do. Love your neighbor. Don't tip your neighbor's wife. Don't tip your neighbor's good. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Do these things and it will be well with you. After a while, it's too easy. Life cannot be this easy. They now go to Molech, one of the neighboring gods, that says, you want prosperity? Say, yes. You will sacrifice your first son. Now, you know the interesting thing? You think it is difficult. But the human being spirit, the natural person, loves that. Because he can tell a story of what he did, different from what the other person did. He wants to be able to explain why he prospered and his neighbor did not prosper. No, he wants to be able to do that. So when they tell him, you think that is a difficult thing. But actually, he loves the bondage. He crawls at night, sacrifices, he does all kinds of things. Especially, this is the next reason why people always go against, the will of God. They backslide, follow other gods. Because the other gods normally allow them to indulge their flesh. One thing Molech will never tell you is that take your eye away from your neighbor's wife. He won't tell you that. Yes, those vials that they saved, he wouldn't say that. My God is saying, listen, I just want you to exercise a bit of self-control concerning that which will not benefit you. I don't know what I hear what I said. God said, it won't benefit you. You're being deceived into thinking that this thing will be a blessing to you. I know it won't be a blessing. So listen to me, exercise a bit of self-control. I will give you grace for full self-control. They don't like it. Today I was watching, I think People on Power on Al Jazeera, a documentary, a magazine program. And they're talking about, I think, other People on Power, another program. Anyway, they're talking about HIV fight, the fight against HIV/AIDS. How the developed world is not spending the money they said they will spend. And they talked and talked about drugs and everything. I said, have you noticed? Nobody has yet agreed that this is a problem of morality. It is not a problem of science. It's not a problem of drugs. It's a problem, a simple problem of morality. Have you noticed that? Nobody, they won't agree. Why? Because the legislators in America, they all go, well, maybe not, but a lot of them sneak down to Thailand on sex tourism. And you want cure? God said, listen, I will give you a cure. That's not a problem. I will give you a cure for all of this. But please just simply acknowledge. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. I'm not saying you should look for a big laboratory to do research. Just acknowledge that, I'm sorry, it was wrong. No, human beings, you'll be amazed. We love bondage. We love it. You tell Nigeria as an example now. Then there is this presidential candidate. If he wins this election, God showed me. In fact, my name is God, I'm telling you. This nation won't be the same again. When you finish, the man will say, is it from our area? Once the answer is no, forget it. We'll rather continue bad roads, no water, no light, no everything, as long as we too produce the president. That's human beings for you. Why they are like that? I've told you before. Even if I didn't believe in God, at least one person I will believe in is the devil. Because the only explanation I have for this misbehavior of human beings, why should a man just be hurting his own soul? There must be a devil. There must be a devil. Thank God I believe in God, and he told me there is a devil. So I have my full explanation for human misbehaviors. What am I explaining? To step into the rest of God, is actually truly easier. But human beings find it more difficult. Human beings would rather continue in bondage. When God said, what do? Step into the place of my rest. I will show you my work. And then, in due season, I will manifest my own work in your life. That's what God is asking for. And that is a problem. No, generally, we're not sabi. Let's talk. I just keep on going back there. I hope you are being blessed anyway. I said, what we want to discuss today? Let me try and do it. It's now that we know how important it is. How do we quieten and compose our souls? The scripture here is that Psalm 131 verse 2. David says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother. My soul, he said, my soul is like a wind child within me. He now said, O Israel, follow my example. Put your trust and your expectation, your hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. How do you do that? We refer from that to that Psalm 91. That's why I went into off that tangent. That is what is called actively dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, when I was thinking about this, I meditated, and now somebody can give you 10 principles, 10 steps. Somebody can give you one. Do you follow my point? They may be right, but I am giving four. It is not the word of God that there are four. It is just Banky's easy way of presenting this truth. I'm going to go over them in 4 points. Things that we do that will help us quieten, compose our souls. Do you follow my point? Now, if you like, you can write them down, if not, but let me just keep talking. I'll take them one after the other. There are four of them. Now, the first one is the matter of general understanding. What I mean is this. Generally understanding some principles about life. Because there are things that disturb our souls, and generally, those things are outward, they are physical. Do you follow my point? I've said to you again and again, I read about religions quite a bit, and I realized that what men are really looking for, right, is peace of mind. You know, I've been saying that again and again. What people are looking for is what? Peace of mind. Peace of mind, that's what people are really looking for. And one of the things that characterize, whether Christians or non-Christians, people who are attaining to what they call peace of mind, is that one of the first things they do is learn how to relate with things that are material. Now, human beings, I tell you, they like the hard way. They often carry it to an extreme. Yeah, we do that a lot. We carry it to extremes, you know? In which they tell you that, like, the ascetics, all right? People who practice what they call asceticism. You know what's asceticism? Asceticism means that, as far as you are concerned, the things in this world are completely and very, very evil. Do you get my point? They are completely and very evil. So that, one, the man doesn't eat food that tastes nice. If you give him food, it must not be nice tasting. You mustn't serve it in a nice plate. You should put it in leaves. Do you understand my point? You know, how many people have ever heard of St. Francis of Assisi? Yeah, St. Francis also tried that one too. And hear it from me, he also found out that it's not necessary. That's not Christianity. But people like to sit with that. St. Francis found out later that it wasn't necessary. Most people who really walk, after a while, they say, that's not necessary. It's good to know the place of material things, but don't go into asceticism. Asceticism is not the will of God. It's as much sin, all right, as far as God is concerned, as materialism is. Because in both of them, you are putting your faith in the work of the flesh. Do you understand the point? In both of them, asceticism is the opposite of materialism. A materialistic man, all he's laboring for is food for the belly and belly for food. Nothing more than that. Chop life, enjoy life, build big house, wear expensive clothes. That is, just enjoy yourself. The ascetic decides that this world is so evil, all right? We must never enjoy anything that's on it. Listen to me, both of them are evil as far as God is concerned. Ed Cole is a man I love to quote on that. He said, balance is the key to life. What did I say? Balance is the key to life. God made food. You should eat it. Amen? You should know what it's supposed to do for you. You don't labor for food. Food must labor for you. God made material things. We don't tie ourselves to them. We use them as they come. Are you getting my point? People say that and these material things, they are evil. No. It is the way a man uses them that's evil. In themselves, they are not evil. You know, somebody was talking to me the other day. Of course, this is old gist. Don't use those gists anymore. He said that why some churches say women shouldn't wear earrings is because in the wilderness, the Israelites removed their earrings and used to build a calf. It was not a sin until they built a calf. And if you don't build a calf your own, it's not a sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not a sin until they built a calf. He said, so why put yourself in the temptation? You've forgotten that Israelites also lusted for meat. Why are you still eating meat? What killed them in the wilderness? Lusting for meat and building of calf, both of them was trouble. Material things in themselves, is the way we use them that's the problem. All right, let me just continue. So number one, I said we must have general understanding, because what happens is this. Sometimes people are disturbed. Very common. Jesus said that, make sure that you are not harassed by these thoughts. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? That tells you that it's not today it started. Do you get my point? Now, so people often are harassed by those things. And one of the things that you must first get into your heart, if you are going to have your soul quiet inside you, is for you to understand the right roles that those things play in life. Listen to me, the man without the big car and the man with it, both of them are just as happy as the other. What makes one happier than the other is when one decides that he's happy and the other one becomes unhappy because he decided that he's unhappy. I don't know whether you get it. I hope you will get that one day if you don't get it right now. That is, the truth is that the same dose of joy is available to both. I have seen people with 1 million, 2, 3, and they can't sleep because they are in debt for 4 or 5. Yes, they are owing. I mean, the guy has 5 million now to spend, because if I one day something happens, I'll color the gist so that you have no idea what I'm talking about. And even if I told you, how many of you would know anyway? One day, a friend of mine wanted to buy something. Now, listen to this. So, the gist has been filed and colored. There's small pepper on top of it. I've removed the tomato to one side, so you can't recognize it again. I don't put makeup for this gist. So, make your hair, all right? So, a friend of mine wanted to buy something. So, I was looking for money. He didn't have enough money. First, he wanted to buy one, maybe for like 3 million, and it didn't work. He tried to get money, the money didn't come. So finally, one day, somebody now gave him one for 10 million and said, please, you can pay bit by bit, just pay 5 million now, and then you can pay the balance 5 million afterwards. A major issue. So when he told me, I called him, I said, listen, my friend, right now, you would like to have this investment of 10 million, right? He said, yes. I said, but it's a desire. You are not owing. Are you owing? No. I said, the moment you pay the first 5 million, you are owing 5. I don't know whether you get my arithmetic. Right now, you are not owing anybody. You just have a desire that has not been fulfilled, and God can fulfill it tomorrow. I said, the moment you make a down payment, boza. Listen, let nobody entice you with pay small, small. You hear what I talk? Let me go over it again. Let nobody entice you with what? Pay small, small. Listen, I will say one more time. Let nobody entice you with something you love, you desire, by saying, pay small, small. Listen to me, that is why the whole world is in economic recession today. There's no other reason. Lying, am I lying? Americans have a way of doing it. It's an evil. I've read many books about the world system being evil. I believe them. I see the adverts all the time. One day, a friend of mine is a pathologist in the United Kingdom. He went to a shop one day, wanted to buy something. And the salesman was trying to say, okay, you see this one, we can give you financing, you pay this, you no interest till next year. The guy said, shh, excuse me. I don't buy things on credit. I'm paying you cash, and I'm living here. The salesman who had been talking smooth slowed down and said, sir, you're very smart. The salesman who was trying to tell him, you see, y'all need to just log on to one of these shopping sites, all right? You see, zero interest payment if paid within 12 months. No interest payment chargeable until 2012 and you're 2010. That is the will of the devil. Let me tell you why. You will look at it and say, I don't have to pay interest till 2012. Okay. So what they are saying, they are sending you maybe the latest model LED TV, flat screen, scarlet according to LG, 90-inch across. With the only reason why you want it is because you are childish and you don't know the role of material things in life. They know because you don't have the money. They tell this one is $3,000. Okay, that one can't be $3,000. Maybe like $8,000. It's the newest model. They say, no, take it. You don't have to pay us till next year. What they don't tell you, they say it in very fine print, which you are too childish to read, is that if you don't pay by next year, we start charging interest from the day you collected it. That is, pay between now and next year, no interest. Pay small, small. But the day you start defaulting, interest starts from the day you collect. So that is, if you don't pay by that 2012, you're already owing 2 years of interest. And listen to me, you are talking about credit card interest. It's the most evil interest rate in the world, apart from loan sharks. These are not long-term loans. Interest that go for up to 40% per annum. What am I saying? What happened in the whole world, in America, the world's largest consumer nation, is that they sold everything to everybody on credit. You know, there's something about credit. Eventually, you go pay one day. You go pay. You go pay. And this is what happens. That is, I'm going to economics now, in the world system. This was what happened. They thought they were trapping the people who bought. But by the time the people couldn't pay, everybody went down. The creditor, the debtor, everybody went down. The banks that lent to the creditor, that lent to the debtor, all went down. It's Satan. Is it Satan? A satanic system, that's the way it works. Anything you don't have money for, please, don't let anybody entice you. Women are very good at that when it comes to buying gold. In Jesus' name, you are not like that. That's an amen. That's why I like Deeper Life. Oh. If you can't go and join Deeper Life, I'm telling you, you know, I've been saying this thing for a long time. There are different methods. When you are prospered, say, the Lord has revealed to me that this thing is not true. Come out. I mean, until that time, just join. So your friend said that, there's this new joy. Say, you know, in our church now. In our church. It's very nice. If you want to do wedding and all your friends are harassing you, a week before that, 2 months before your wedding, just one day, just be going on the road. Say, Holy Spirit, what happened? The Lord said, I should check out that Deeper Life church. And you enter, they say, no wedding cake, no wedding ring, no wedding gown. Say, your friends, it's not me, it's the pastor. It's not me, it's the pastor. Now, when God has blessed you, say, no, I have new light. Yes, you know that, what do you call it? Apollos came preaching accurately. Then Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and showed him more accurately. I've gotten more accurate truth now that I'm richer. Until that time, I'm telling you, just join Deeper Life. Say, these things are things of the world. Say, amen. It's very good for a season. I see it, women go through that season all the time. And they invest it. And they're harassing you too much on campus to wear trendy things. Just join one church. You know, there's one advert of Star Lager beer that I like. You know Star Lager? You don't know Star Lager? You didn't use to drink it before? He says, sense pass money, now make Bobo Wasabi chop life. Now, sense. You can't buy it, join the appropriate church. It's true. But one thing you must never do is to put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Listen. Let me tell you something. It's a lie for people to tell you that, listen, if you look successful, you will succeed. Listen, a naked Adam will have succeeded. I hope you know. I remember those days. You don't have to tell me. I know now I wear very nice clothes. I know. You don't have to tell me. But those days, I remember. One day we were going to go for a program. There's one young sister. She said, what are you wearing? I said, I'm wearing what I... this one. And I said, I'm making this. I'll wear this for them. He said, but... okay, some of our brethren were getting married. So I needed to wear something that looks like a wedding cloth. I mean, Bible talk about wedding garment. You understand my point? So I went and bought one small wedding garment. Just small... brocade, just so top and trouser, the kind of thing I wear. I still wear them a lot these days. And I said, what are you wearing for the other person's own? I said, the same one. Now, what's wrong with it? And she made a statement. And it's the answer I gave her that I don't want to ever forget. He said, it's the same people that will come for the two. I said, so? She said, they will see you wearing this and see you wearing that. It's not good now. I said, listen, the people you are referring to, they don't love me because of what I wear. They love me because of what I say. That's what I told her. I said, the time I will worry is when today I share the same revelation as the one I shared yesterday. I told her to have it. I said, listen, it's when I come today and say, okay, preach. You preach the same message. Then next week, say, come and preach. You preach the same one. The third week, you say, won't come back here. Now you go come. But if you hear that every time you come, Pastor Banky wears the same suit. So? Is the looking suit? Those who buy our tapes, it's not the same photograph they see on it every time. We have like 3 pictures. We have over 70 MP3 CDs. Only 3 pictures. I don't smile like this. Or the one I'm smiling like this. This is just 3 of them. But they keep. There are people that have every single copy. Listen, it's devil that come and deceive you that why you are not respected. One day, man, somebody asked him that, how come you don't preach in your church? You know the nonsense he said? He said, it's because, the pastor doesn't let people like us preach yet. Because we have not yet bought our cars. And when we buy our car, they will let us preach. You will know that such people should never be allowed to preach. I mean, has he not proved to you now why they've not allowed him to preach? By the utterance of his ignorant lips, he has proven, remember said that a fool is known by his folly once he opens his mouth. That a fool, until he talks, is considered wise. So when you buy zip for him, you don't try. Just zip him out. Everywhere he goes, say, good morning. They think he's smart. They ask the man, how come they don't ask you to preach in your church? He says, it's because I have not yet bought a car. Then you know that kind of thing. You don't need to ask for that. He has told you why they don't let him preach. He's stupid. He's ignorant. He does not know that which is real. I've gone to preach in all kinds of places. Don't tell that Pastor Banky wears nice suit to go and preach. I don't rubbish. Those is in Lagos now, waistcoat, monkey jacket. I went to one big redeemed church to preach, wearing one waistcoat. What I'm telling you was 1998. Listen, by the time I finished, there's one particular brother there. Big man, rich man. He gave me his card. That, please, I need to see you after. Now, remove, this is 2010, right? Remove 12 years from what I look like now. A big businessman in Lagos gave me his card. I wore a waistcoat. Why? That was the best thing I had to look nice. So, listen. I'm trying to explain this. These are general principles we must know so that we will quieten our souls. They have one to enter ministry. You are going to buy a suit on credit. Your ministry has died. You know that. What am I saying? You go and put yourself under pressure because somebody lied to you that if you don't wear a nice suit, you will not preach well. T.D. Jakes, not T.D. Jakes. Thomas Dexter Jakes. I see his videos now. Man, those suits are costly. I mean, you're talking $2,000 suits. That's what he wears now.
But then there are still videos out there of TD Jakes where the lining go fold the suit inside like this. You know, bros big. And if you big get in kind of proportion like that, your suit no they shop just anyhow like that. Your entire shop just see suit for what? This is not, the man who's making suit though, he wants to make money. Your type are not plenty. What if you don't like it? Who will buy it? So people like him normally wear custom made hand tailored suits. In fact, his suits are not, they can't be $2,000 suits. $2,000 suits are the things a man who hangs in shops and you go and buy. We like TD Jakes, I lie. A man will come to his house, measure him, and bring the suit next week. So you will be confused to think that, that's why the man is pretty, I lie. The TD Jakes of those days, when he wears those suits, the suit did not arrange. It was in the midst of those his ugly suits that he did Woman Thou Art Loose. And sold 5,000 books when they wrote a book in 2 weeks. It was wearing those ugly suits that Paul Crouch saw him on TV. And Paul Crouch's life was not the same after that. You want to cover TD Jakes, you go and buy expensive suits. Your ministry will never grow in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Until you repent. So where you don't feel afford. Because people like, these are the things that put you under pressure. Listen, when it comes to cloth, look, let me know, I'm not a fashion advisor now, but I'll give you my little history. Let me say before, I didn't used to wear colored shirts until I married. How should I wear a colored shirt? You know, people with colored shirts, I'll tell you. They fade, amen? They fade. You wear white, it has faded to the best color before you bought it. Always. So those days, you open my wardrobe, any shirt you see is white. If it's not white, I didn't buy it. When I first married my wife, look. Why are all your shirts white? Don't they look nice? You should wear some color. Now? Ha! My wardrobe is a rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, including black shirt. Bros, I get. Who bought me rich black those days? But then, I'm not lying to you. God anointed me long ago. One day I was in my office. There were these women, our typists and all of that. I was just gisting with them one day, one woman. So, I was asking that, and I think she said that you are looking nice, something like that. And I said, yes. As I said, as I look so, when I walk out, come out like this, all these young women will just want to marry me like that. You know, I just play with her. She made a statement which actually struck me. He said, you forget it. Is this your mouth you use to catch them? I never forgot. Look, I'm telling you, this is like around 1997. I never forgot. That even she knew that I didn't need a shirt to catch anybody. Ask my wife, when I shared to Revelation, she married me like this. What am I saying? Let's not put our trust in things that are material. We are getting this into a proper perspective. He said, put your hope, O Israel, David was saying, in the Lord from now and forever. You don't have a very nice suit, you can get the best job. Just have a nice mouth. Have nice knowledge. Have nice understanding. And most importantly, have the nicest of all graces. Let the grace of God be upon you. It's a man that doesn't have grace that the interviewer is noticing his suit and his tie. What will it have mattered to Pharaoh? We're not hyping Joseph, who dressed like this. What will it have mattered to Pharaoh? If Pharaoh had heard that wisdom, even though they brought Joseph naked. It's good to dress nicely, but please, let's understand what is real. That's why we misunderstand. Peter said that, talking to Christian women. He said, let your adornment not be in the braiding of hair, wearing of jewelry, and all of that. He said, but it should be after the inward man of the heart. People now misread it that Peter said, don't braid your hair. You know, that's how we read. We don't understand what Peter was saying. Peter said, look, that shouldn't be how you show yourself to be a godly woman. It should be what is inside your heart. Listen, I've spent a lot of time, but I'm just emphasizing that issue. Number one, let's know the proper place for material things. That's one of the ways by which you will quieten your soul. You've left school. I'm not leaving it yet. I'm not leaving it. I got to one level. Lack of understanding. Listen, in life, I've said it before, there are two seasons. There is seed time and there's what? Harvest time. All right? Spiritual seeds are the things you use to secure your future, not material seeds. There's no material seed you can plant that will help you secure your future. But spiritual seeds often have material clothing. In fact, they always have material clothing. What am I saying? Just bear that in mind and I will say what I wanted to say. A young man leaves school. I've said this several times before. All the time he was in school, all he's saying is this. Ah! See that Camry, my God. Say, which one is that one? That is the latest BMW. He said, one day, my time will come. Pastor Banky said, one day, it will come. Right. But he doesn't know when his time is. So he leaves school as soon as he come up for school. They give him one nice job. They say, you're up front, number one, to start. Now, 800,000. After that, we'll give you 400K every month. Ha! The guy look and say, my time has what? Come. You must learn to judge things properly. He will go and buy the car and miss a beautiful opportunity to secure a proper tomorrow. I'm going somewhere. Because he didn't advise him correctly, he placed his eyes on the things that are not real. I told you the other day, my wife told me, one of the books we had in the house, she was reading, that a man and his friend were talking. So the guy, okay, name the material, said name the blessings in your life. And the man began to think, my car, my house, my diamond, my this. I said, no, God, don't try for me. Then the other man said, okay, let me name the blessings in my life. Last week, there were these two boys who didn't have a father. And God opened the door, I was able to bless them. That's my blessing. He said, you know my family? Oh God, they are so lovely and they are nice. That's a blessing. The other time I went to church, I noticed that our church wanted to do this and nobody had the money to do it. And God gave me the money, I was able to do it. The guy counted all the good works he had been able to do. He said, these are my blessings in life. The other man felt like a fool. He took correction on the spot. I believe he's a good Christian. What am I saying? When you don't know what is real blessings, when you are given the opportunity, you go after the thing you call a blessing. Are you getting my point? The young man who's just leaving school, let me get back to him, I've not forgotten. If in his life, all he had been thinking is that, I told that one brother once, went to University of Benin to, give me a tract, I want to hold it as I'm saying this. Just one or two. Okay. Thank you. Now, you know these tracts. These are our tracts. All right? So I shared it out. This is what I started ministry with, printing. Then it used to cost us maybe like, we use very good quality paper for it, so it's kind of expensive. But then, what I call expensive is, it came to an average of about 3 naira a copy. We used to print them in thousands, thousands and thousands of them. So when I go out, I give them out free. Till now, we still have them there, we give it out free. Listen to this though. He picked one up. He used to take them and read and was really blessed by them. And all he was thinking of is that somebody had to pay for this. I don't know whether you hear what I said. He was a student. All he was thinking of is, this thing is costing money. How is this guy funding this? All he was thinking of is, how is this guy funding this? In his mind, one day I'll have money to give this man. So one day, he will send us 1,000 naira. I didn't know all of this. It was later he was telling me all of these things. And that day, he will send us maybe 2,000 naira. Like that. And he kept on sending us money until today, large sums of money. Then one day, he called me. He said, I sent some money to the ministry account. I said, all right, thank you. And then this rent here was due. We are not paid. And then I needed to pay. So I just believe in God for money. And that the day before that day, all right,
I was climbing the stairs, I still remember. And something came to my heart. I said, Banky, what if tomorrow night I sent you a lot of money? How will you feel that you were worried? I said, Lord, I'll feel very bad. I said, why don't you just quit worrying? I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. That's 200,000 that we're paying then, here. So I just said, Father, thank you. I just left it there. Then the following day was when he called me and said, I sent some money to Kingdom World Ministries. I said, all right. And then I sent some to you also. I said, okay, thank you. Let me make a long story short. He didn't tell me how much it was, so I just said, all right, I'll check. And no, he used to send us money before, 1,000, 2,000, then it went up to 10, 20,000 and all of that. Anyway, cut a long story short, that day, it was 1 million naira. I shouted. When he was in school, he hardly had money to eat. He would see the truck and say, this thing is costing money. What am I going to say? Young men leave school. Your father labored for you all this while. Listen, raising children is not easy. The first thing you do is to be spending money, you know, anyhow. Buy yourself, find shoe, find this, find that, find that, find that. You don't know you have a father who labored for you all these years. Look, I'll give you some juice just to, you know, encourage you. A few days ago, I drove down from Newe. As I parked in my house, my phone came on. My phone rang. I picked the phone. Hello, sir. All I heard was, God will bless you. I said, amen. He will place his hands upon. This man was blessing and blessing and blessing. He kept on blessing and blessing. My wife is not around. She traveled abroad. I sent her a text on the spot. I said, get aside somewhere. Spend 2 minutes. Just give thanks. I just got a rain of blessing. Quickly tap it. This man blessed me and blessed me. Listen, he's one of the most anointed men I've ever seen. I've told this story before. He's a man who looked at a man was cursing him. He's a man of God. He splashed water on somebody. And the person was cursing and cursing and cursing and cursing. So he came that he, sorry, I'm very sorry. There were two. One stopped talking. The other one kept on railing. And then, after a while, he got provoked. He told the man, please excuse me. I am an anointed servant of the Most High God. Nobody talks to me like this. The man said, what is it? He said, okay, I return your curses to you. The man died on the spot. Listen, his partner ran to the village. He just stood there beside his car, beside the cops. The villagers all gathered. Of course, if you know Yoruba people, they can't prostrate. They begin prostrate for the man. Prostrate, prostrate, prostrate. He said, I warned him. I'm a man of God. You don't talk to a man of God like this. And he said, oh God, he did not know. Finally, he went to the cops. In the name of Jesus, I command you to return back to life. The man sneezed and woke up. He got his car and drove away. He called me 2 days ago. As soon as I said, hello, good afternoon, sir. He said, God will bless you. God will multiply you. He prayed and prayed and prayed. Why? That's what I'm talking about. One day, you know, for years, I just realized that this man nurtured my family. You don't get the point. He will pray my sister off his sickbed. Then one day it dawned on me that, Banky, what have you ever done for him? It shocked me. Almost nothing. Since that day till now, no. I wake up in the morning, my wife, I'm sending Susan and Super money. Christmas time, I just kept up. Then one day he called me like, why? You don't ever say, it matters, no, I forgot him all my life. It was the day I remembered him. I'm paying for the sins of former times. A young man leaves school. They give you money. You're buying clothes. You're buying shoes. You're buying phone. And that nonsense. You are buying phones. What have you done for your father? When you were in school, there was an uncle you always called. What are you doing with the car? Where are you driving to? You were in school now. You know the uncle you always called. You feel like that's the anointing about people. He has money.
What business of yours is whether he has money or not? God has given you the opportunity to bless him back. You were down and out. There was a fellowship on your campus. You will go there and hear the word. You have left. Buy them a drum set. You don't need those shoes yet. Please, buy them a drum set. What are you talking about? People need that material. Listen. This is how you sow for your future. I see young people in school. Begin buy music sets. Buy, oh God, Satan is just helping them turn their lives prodigal. Turn their lives prodigal. Take her. The Bible says more blessed to give than to receive. A man came to me one day where I want to do a seminar in a way. He said, we need to talk. I've told you the story before. Some of you heard it. I said, what are you talking about? He said that, give me advice now. Maybe it's because of him God sent me to come to the seminar in a way. But I'm going to do something dangerous. What happened? He said, my father is not behaving like a father at all. So how is a father supposed to behave? That the man will sell land, he won't share the money. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 30. In my mind, God punish you. On this office. I said, in my ignorance. I said, wait, how old is he? You 30. At the age of 30, your father sells land. And you expect him to share money with you. Is the money your own? He was looking at me. Is the land your own? The man was staring at me. What do you do? He said, I'm a farmer. What do you farm? He said, I'm a poultry farmer. So you have birds? I do. You sell eggs and chicken? He said, yes. How many times have you carried crates of eggs to go and greet your father? He was staring at me. Listen, he had never heard of such concepts. How many times? I said, listen to me. Life has seasons. The season in which your father is giving you land, money, and all of that has passed. It is the season now in which you give things to him. He was quiet and humble. I said, listen, from now, as I happen to know that painting a house is not expensive, it's building that's money. I said, periodically, you will go. I said, go home. Go to your father's house. Look around and tell him, Daddy, please, can you give me one weekend? We want to paint this house. Paint it in and out for him. How much will it cost you? So you spend 18, 20,000, and you finished. It's a small house. Village house. How big can it be? I said, then after that, every week, stop by, drop half a crate, one crate of eggs, prostrate. He gave you life. He nursed you when you were a child. Without him, you won't be a farmer today. I said, that is how children behave to their fathers. Not at the age of 30, coming to tell me that your father is not sharing money with you. Apparently, he had never heard this type before. I said, listen, your father doesn't owe you. Now, if he likes, let him sell his land. Tear the money, flush it down a toilet is none of your business. I know what I'm saying. Because young people just sit down and say, look, you start saving. God helped me with that when I was young. I said, I can't save. My friend said, he's putting money together to do what? I said, to buy television. I said, you are saving money to buy tele. Come on, room, not there for campus. What are you watching on Delhi? Listen, let me tell you something. This is my personal experience. This is my personal experience. There's nothing I have disdained like that and refused to labor myself towards. Do you follow my point? That has not come to me easily. There's nothing. When we're gathering money, they want to buy car. I look the car. Then Bishop Oyedepo gave a word of revelation. He said, what is it? Is it not a car that can catch fire? I said, you see? 2 years labor can catch fire. I'm not doing. Listen, since then, I don't think car matter is a prayer point for me again. Since the first time that God blessed me with it. You've heard me say, but now you should be building a house. I said, listen, I know the kind of house I like. If you give me a small house, I'll keep on paying my landlord and rent the small one to somebody. Yes, it's true. I won't park out of my big house to a small house because it belongs to me. I won't. And this is not a bad thing, just that it's not a banky thing. All right? I hear the prophecy again. Those of you who know where I live now, you know my house. I said,
That's a sign of the smallest size of house I can own. And hear ye the word of the Lord. It must not take me more than 12 months to start and finish it if I decide to build one day. It must not. In fact, you will never see me going to look for masonry. Okay, how much is a bag of cement? In Jesus' name, I won't. What am I going to do? How we call the builders, you know, contractors. How much is this house? Design a house for me like this, like this, like this, and they finish. How much? Say, oh, God, it's 25 million. Okay, I'll give you checks in 3 installments. 10 to start, 5 halfway through, 10 when you finish. Is that okay? Yes. Here are the checks post-dated. Do I have 1 million right now? No. Will I have that money? That's why I know they sweat over things. So, because I told you the story for instance, I could be paying 500 naira when I was earning 6,000 naira a month so that one day, one day, we'll give you 150,000. I look the guy, look me first. If you can look into my heart, in 15 years, you'll give me 150,000 and you are collecting my 500 naira out of my 600 naira a day today. I said, look at me. In 15 years, 150,000 naira won't be money. In all honesty, let me not even talk about my personal experience. Kingdom World Ministry spends over 300,000 naira a month now. Not even me. I'm talking about Kingdom of Ministries. I'm giving my 500 naira when I was earning 6,000. Every bit of that money was shared out. You know? That's it. Food. Give to my parents and siblings. Church. Books and tapes. By the time I finished, the only shirts I could buy were used. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, those are my white shirts. That's another thing. If you buy it used, it's white, it's still good. This story was 1995. It's 15 years today. And I'm thankful to God I did not believe that guy. Why am I telling all of these stories? I said, number one, when it comes to quieting your soul, is know what? The right perspective concerning material things.